we're just going to have a great time today in the presence of the Lord and enjoy Him and enjoy one another. So without any further ado, I present to you, all hail the King.
Along with the billions of stars and planets, God created you. God created me. He created mankind to fellowship with Him, and through that relationship, to bring Him pleasure. But in the garden, mankind sinned, turned away from God, and chose his own way. And the course of history was forever changed. Left to themselves, mankind built great civilizations, yielding wealth and prosperity, leading to greed, wickedness, cruelty, and hopelessness.
And so, here we are, you and me. And we are full of questions. What is the answer to the pain and suffering I see all around me? How can I be surrounded by so many people and yet feel utterly alone? Is there hope? Freedom from fear and shame? Is there a reprieve from the emptiness that I feel inside?
In the midst of these questions, our hearts long for peace, for safety, for stability. We needed a Savior. Then Jesus came, but not as we expected. The Creator became the created. The ruler became a servant. The Son of God gave up a crown of heaven. And as a man, he took up a crown of thorns.
when he should have been given a throne, he chose the cross. He stepped into our problems, our mistakes, our hurt, our shame.
His love for us was so great. He chose to die on the cross to pay the penalty for what we had done, the penalty of death. Yes, he died. He died for you. He died for me.
So sure, nothing it can't endure. There is a life it brings that's greater than anything. I once was dead within, hallowed by all my sin, lost and so led astray. But your love reached all the way. Your love reached all the way. Oh, the wondrous cross where the Prince of Glory died. Oh, the glorious cross where your mercy bled for us. You overcame the grave, waking to the world you saved. Oh, the wondrous cross.
Now you're my resting place, when trouble I must face. I won't be overwhelmed, 'cause Jesus, your love has won.
Wow. The cross. It's wondrous. It's mystical. There's so much beauty and glory and honor and power. It's powerful. It's awesome. Yet at the same time, it's repugnant. It's awful. It's deadly. It's painful. It's all of those negative things as well. It's a mystery. It's all this good that happened, but all this bad. And how do we rectify all of that? How do we see it as so wonderful that we wear it as jewelry, but so horrible because of what happened on that cross? Jesus, He had to die on that cross. He died. He bled. He poured it all out for us. But why? 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 Why did He die? Why did He have to die? Great question. I'm glad you asked it. Why did He have to die? Well, let me go back just a little bit and talk about our title, All Hail the King. All Hail the King. The word hail means to cheer, to salute, to greet, to welcome, to acclaim, to approve enthusiastically. And as Jesus came in 2,000 years ago, over 2,000 years ago into the city of Jerusalem, He came into those cheers. They were hailing Him as King as He came in. They were whistling and cheering and excited about their King coming. And they loved Him. He was an anomaly. Jesus was just an anomaly. He was just a little bit different than everybody else out there. He was the guy that when someone died, hey, He raised him back to life. If there was someone who was blind, He gave them sight. If someone was deaf, all of a sudden they could hear again being around Jesus. If they were lame, they started to walk again. If they were sick, He healed them of whatever was ailing them. You see, Jesus simply cared about people. From the very young where He said, suffer the children to come to Me, to the very, very old and everybody in between. He cared about people, but not just the people themselves. He cared about what they were going through. He cared about what they were feeling. He cared about their hurts, their pangs, their angst, their anxieties. He cared about them. So they loved Him. They cheered Him. But only a few days later, the cheers turned to jeers. And instead of acclaiming Him as their King, they cry out, crucify Him! And sentenced Him to death on the cross. Instead of receiving a royal crown of authority, He received a crown of thorns of mockery. Instead of being that King that should have been hailed, living in some lavish palace someplace, instead of that, they nailed Him to this gruesome cross, where He was beaten unmercifully, beyond all recognition, and left there to die as they mocked Him in spite. Powerful, powerful. But my question is, why? Why did He have to die? Why did God require that of Him? Why did He have to die? Now, let me tell you what, in my own natural thinking, if I were God, I would have thought this. I would have said, hey, listen, come down here. If you're Jesus, you come down and you do all those things. You do all those signs and wonders and miracles. Have fun. You know, multiply the bread, turn water into wine, be the life of the party. Do all those great things. Just raise people from the dead. Have fun. Have fun while you're down there. Do all these great things. Get the people just to love you. Let them know, though, that you're going to be leaving. And as you leave, that they need to accept you as their Lord and Savior. They need to accept you into their life as Lord and Savior. And then I'll open up heaven's door to you and everything's going to be great. And then just simply at the end, instead of being crucified, have a big production, a wonderful thing. Have the choirs of angels come out and just go, whoo! And you just simply go back up to heaven and the whole world cheers. That would be spectacular. That's movie stuff. That's not what happened. Why? Why the gruesome death? Why the pain and agony on the cross. Why did Jesus Christ have to die? The answer? To satisfy justice. To satisfy justice. And isn't justice a big thing in our news today? We want justice. So many people out there, politicians, people of high power, have done wrong things, have sinned against people, have hurt people, have done wrong, and we cry out for their justice. They need to pay for this. You need to pay for the things that you've done. You can't just keep going on doing what you've done and there's no repercussions. You got to realize you got to pay for this. That's justice. And that's the same justice that God said He required. He required justice as well. Justice for all the stuff that we have done wrong. Justice. Justice is demanded. In Romans 6:23 it says, "For the wages of sin is," say it with me, "death." The wages, the cost of sin is death. And God demands justice. Therefore, God demands us to die, to pay for those sins, to pay for those wrongs. God says that demands death. It also says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Every one of us here have sinned, have done wrongs. It's not just the politicians. It's not just the people of power out there. It's not just all of them that justice is cried out for. All of us in here have sinned. All of us in here have done wrong. All of us in here have fallen short of what God has asked us to do. He says in Romans 3:12 that there's no one who does good. No, not one. There's nobody. And that justice that's demanded is our death. There's an interesting story I came across. It's about a Native American tribe. And it talks about this. They were going through a very difficult time, and there was a famine in the land, and people were literally starving. And as they were starving, some people were stealing somebody else's food in order to survive. And as they were stealing this food, the chief says, "Hey, we can't have this. We'll have anarchy here." So the king, the chief decreed a law. He said, "Anybody caught stealing is going to be taken to the Punisher, strapped to a pole, and you will be flogged 40 some times." Now that was a brutal penalty for that. Well, as time goes by, they catch the thief. They caught the thief. And the thief, as they catch, is the chief's mother who was stealing. The people then look back in amazement and go, they wonder what the king is, or the chief is going to do. Is the chief going to demand justice and penalty for this and flog his own mother who's old and frail and she would never survive a flogging? Or would his love just simply forgive her and let her go? They are wondering, what would happen? What would happen? Will justice prevail or will love prevail? What will prevail? What will be the thing that will stand up? And as they watch the chief commands his mother to be strapped to the pole, and she's strapped to the pole. They strap her up to the pole, and the Punisher is over here with his whip. Before they start, the chief comes and gets behind his mother and puts his hands on top of her hands, wraps his shoulders around her body, holds her tight, and then commands the Punisher to begin his flogging. And with each beating, with each hit, it didn't touch his mother. He absorbed every blow, every lash, all of the pain, all of the agony. He endured the complete totality of the punishment. The king, the chief, he also loved his mother, but he satisfied the justice as well. And that's just what Jesus Christ did for you and for me. We deserve that death penalty. That's what we deserve. But instead of receiving that, Jesus Christ wraps His arms around us. He goes to the cross in place of us. He endures all of the penalty and the judgment and justice in place of us. And we come out scot-free. In Romans 6:23, the other part of the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. You see, the gift that He gave us is that He endured His love shed out on us, allowed Him to endure the justice that was demanded, and He paid the penalty for our sins so that you don't have to. Wow. You see, if He hadn't have died, if He hadn't have gone to that cross, you would still owe a debt. You would still be in your sins today. But thank you, Jesus Christ, for what you did for us 2,000 years ago. As you endured that pain on the cross, you took my beating. You took my penalty. You took my judgment. And as a result, ladies and gentlemen, we get to go free. Some 40 years ago, I got a revelation of that. And 40 years ago, that understanding changed my life. I was running away from God fast. But when I understood He endured a beating for me that I should have endured, He went to the woodshed and took an unmerciful beating in my place. That's what finally changed my life. So Jesus, He dies for everyone. But is everyone saved then? He dies for the whole world. Is the whole world saved? It's kind of like this. If I tell you that I have this $50, and for everybody at church today, we have a $50 bill taped underneath your chair. No, I'm just kidding you. I'm just kidding you. Don't you wish? Hey, I went to church today. They don't take up an offering. They give one. I mean, it's great. $50. $50. $50. If you tell you, hey, I have this gift for you, this $50 gift, it's for you. This is for you. This is for you. Does it do you any good if it's sitting here in my hands? Does it do you any good at all? No, it starts to do you some good when what? Who needs $50 today? Who needs $50? Who really needs $50? Who needs $50? Who needs... Oh, right here, this gentleman... Okay, so he seems to be hungry for the $50. He's walking over people. What's your name, sir?
Ron.
Ron. You know what? I offered him this free gift. And he didn't care how embarrassed he was to walk over the people...
It's not mine until I actually receive it.
There you go. That's what I'm trying to say, all right?
Thank you so
much. No. You got to keep it. No, just kidding.
I'm going to put it in the offering.
Oh, you can have it. No, you can have it. I'm just teasing.
I'll put it in the offering.
No. You just take it. Lunch is on me today.
Breakfast is on you.
Breakfast is on me. Lunch is on you. Okay, all right. All right, we'll go out. What was your name again? Ron?
Ron. I'm Heather's dad.
Heather's dad. Okay. The funny thing was, he didn't care how embarrassed he may have been. He just walked over people in order to grab it. How are we when it comes to the free gift that Jesus Christ offers? Jesus Christ came to give you salvation as a gift. He came to take your penalty free. But it does you no good until you like Ron, walk over a few people and don't care how you look and simply grab what Jesus Christ gave for you. So many people are so refined and all that. Well, no, I don't need it. Yeah, you do. You do need it. There will be a day of reckoning where you'll go, let me see, what's in your wallet? Is that $50 in there? Because if it's not, it won't be a homecoming. It won't be good. I love the scripture in 1 John 3:16, we all know it. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. What does it say? that whosoever believes in him should not, but have everlasting. I love all that. But I love the next verse even more. It says this, that God didn't send his son to come and condemn the world. He didn't come to condemn you. He came to save you. He came to save you. He didn't come to tell you how rotten you are. He didn't come to tell you, you. I saw what you did last night. I know all this stuff. And begin to rub your nose in it. Rub your nose in all the things you've done. He didn't do that. Instead, he said, I didn't come to condemn you. I simply came to love you. About a week ago, well, no, it's less than that. A few days ago, I told you I have 11 grandkids. One of them, Avery, was 2 years old. She was up here as we were getting ready for the practicing in that. Her mom is on our directing team. And so she was up here playing, and she fell off of here, backwards, off of here. She's two. I thought she was four. I told everybody she's four. She's two. She fell off here backwards, put her hand back like this, landed on top of her arm, broke her elbow, compound fractured her radius or ulna. I can't remember which one it was. The radius. It came like this and it poked out through. Is this gruesome enough for you? Poked out through the side and then went back in. When you look at the x-rays, it goes like this and zit. So they take her to the hospital quickly. They say, you know what? She's 2 years old. I don't know that we need somebody from up in Spokane to do this surgery on her. So they life-flighted her from here up to Spokane. Her parents, they allowed to get into the airplane with them. Courtney is in the gurney with Avery on top of her. What a beautiful picture. And then Christian, he's talking to the pilot. I don't know. He didn't. Take him up there. They put a plate in her arm, put pins everywhere. She's fine. You know what happened though? When she did this to herself, her dad and mom didn't look at her and go, you stupid child, how could you do that? You know you're not supposed to play there. Why did you do that? You did this to yourself. Shame on you. Oh my gosh, I can't believe you're costing us all this money. Why did you do that? They didn't say that to her. They didn't bawl her out. You know what they did? They came running to her in love, picked her up, took her there, concerned, worried, flew in the airplane, cramped together and prayed for her as she got this surgery. I'm saying this, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know what you've done. God loves you. I don't care what sins you've committed. Jesus loves you. I don't care what sins you continue to commit. Jesus just loves you. He is not rubbing your face in your problems. He's simply saying, hey, I want to help you. I can deliver you. I can save you. I'm here to just love on you. Love on you. Love on you. Love on you. He's just waiting for us to accept His love. And the only thing that you can do is either accept it or refuse His love. Today, might I encourage you to accept it? I know we have people here, all sorts of people from all sorts of walks in their life, and I'm telling you this, there are a lot of you out here right now that need to allow Jesus to come into your life to forgive you of your sins, to comfort you and not rub your nose in your mistakes, but to simply love on you. Love on you. Love on you. Love on you. Would you allow Him? If you sense and know that the Holy Spirit is moving on your heart right now, maybe you've been walking with the Lord and you realize, I am not now. I just ran away from Him. Maybe today is the day where you allow Him back and you start walking in that love relationship with Him again. Would you do something for me? Would you respond to God right now with me? Like I did some 40 years ago when I understood the love that Jesus had for me and the penalty he paid. I'm going to ask that we might all pray together. I don't want to embarrass anybody. But remember, Ron walked over a lot of people to get it. Don't be ashamed of the Savior that you serve. But let's pray. Would you pray with me a prayer of repentance to ask Jesus in your life? Pray it all with me, even though you know him. Say, "Dear Jesus, I know you love me. I'm so thankful. But I've committed sins. I deserve punishment. I deserve justice. But I ask you for your love. I realize you paid the penalty for me. And I accept that now. Come into my life. Be my Lord and Savior. And I will serve you all the days of my life. Jesus, I love you. Thank you. Amen." Hallelujah. How awesome. Jesus Christ is incredible. He's amazing. And you know what? If you prayed that prayer or prayed it at any time in your life, not only does He help us in this life, does He forgive us of our sins, help us with day-to-day life, He opens up heaven's door to us forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And did I say forever? Heaven with Him. The most beautiful place you could possibly ever be. Eye hasn't imagined, ear hasn't ever heard of all the wonderful things that God has prepared for you. He's got so much in store for you. And if you know Him today, He's going to grow you and He's going to show you all of the awesome things He has ahead just for you.
And fall. Kingdoms once strong, now shaken. We trust forever in Your name, the name of Jesus. We trust the name of Jesus. You are the only King forever. Almighty God, we lift You higher. All Your wisdom, in love and justice You will reign, and every knee will bow. So we bring our expectations, our hope is anchored in Your name, the name of Jesus. We trust.
Taking the form of a servant and coming in the likeness of men, He humbled Himself and became obedient to the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted Him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Jesucristo es el Señor.
Jesucristo es bueno.
Jesucristo es andador.
Jesús Christos, Господь.
Jesús Nungan.
Jesús el Mesías o Rabbi.
Jesús Christos, an Isan.
Jesucristo el Señor.
Jesucristo el Lua.
Jesús Cristo es 주님이십니다.
There was a moment when the lights went out, when death had claimed its victory. The King of love had given up his life, the darkest day in history. There on a cross they made for sinners, for every curse his blood atoned. One final breath and it was finished, but not the end we could have known. For the earth began to shake, and the veil was torn. What sacrifice was made as the heavens roared? All hail King Jesus. All hail eternity. The King of life was on the move. From a dark, cold tomb, where the Lord was laid, miraculous breath, we're forever changed.
All hail the Savior of
Wow, you may be seated. All hail King Jesus, man. He's so awesome. He's so great. He's so powerful. When all those things fell out, I just kind of my hair in my back of my head stood up a little bit there. Boom, boom, boom. All hail King Jesus. But you know what? There's going to be a day when we're going to stand before Him at the end of time, where it's going to be all hail King Jesus, and it's going to blow everything in our mind completely out of our mind. It's going to be spectacular. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be wonderful. And we all need to be a part of it. Not only do we need to be a part of it, we need to help everybody we know become a part of it. To tell them about Jesus. To not worry about stepping over on some people's toes as you tell them the greatest story that's ever been told. The one about Jesus Christ and His love for you. He loves you so, so much. I just want to thank all of you guys again. Thank you for all that you did and all that you put on here. I appreciate that. I want to thank Curtis and Carrie, our directors, all of our sound guys, all of our musicians, our dancers, our choir, everybody. Man, you guys did a good, awesome job. All the people that cleaned this place up and made banners and all that we did it all for you because we love you guys. We think you're awesome. And we'd love to have you come back again. Come back. Next Sunday, I'm going to be preaching a message. It's going to talk about where do we go from here? What's God got for us? What's the next step? Where do we move? What do we enjoy about Christ so much? And I'll guarantee you this. You're going to laugh a lot. Hopefully you'll get a little sensitive in your heart as well. Every Sunday, I want people to enjoy Jesus, to laugh and to know that He's the greatest, most awesome, wonderful God. But also that He's so serious and has a great plan and purpose and wonder for your life. Well, so next Sunday, 10:30, we'd love to host you once again. A couple of quick announcements before I go. If you prayed with us, if you prayed during that time, it was the first time, I have some Bibles and stuff for you over here. I'd love to be able to give you a Bible. Love to have some other people just kind of pray and seal in what happened. So just take a moment after we dismiss here and come on over here. And if there's anything we can do for you, if there's anything we can pray for, any issues you're going through, we would love to help carry the burden that you're going through and to pray for you. We're going to do our Easter egg drop. I think it's going to happen in about 20 minutes. So we'll go right out those doors right out there. There's going to be a little presentation about what we're going to be doing. Also, you need to sign up for VBS. Sign that up. You'll be entered into the drawing, and that's going to be great. So make sure you get that as you go out so we can put you in the drawing, and we got a number of prizes we're going to give you. Also, the Easter brunch, you can either get there from going up the hill or go upstairs here, either this staircase in the middle or the ones at the side. Just go through the doors out there and this building in the gym across the way. We have a delicious brunch for you. It's absolutely incredible. You will absolutely love it. Okay, so please come and partake of it. And let me pray for our brunch too. Father, we thank you for the food. We thank you for you being such an amazing God. We pray for it now. Bless it, Lord, in Jesus' name. And again, thank you, Lord, for all that you did for us. We love you, Lord, our awesome and wonderful Savior. Again, thank you so much for coming here. We pray God's abundant blessing to be upon you on behalf of all of us here at Living Faith Fellowship. Thank you for coming. We love you. Be dismissed. Kids, out the door.
Thank you so much for joining us for this Easter service. We had a great time celebrating the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. If you'd like to connect more with us, or maybe you haven't found a local church yet, we'd love to join with you. There's more information on all the ways that you can be a part, from small groups to youth ministries to service opportunities galore. We've got all kinds of things going on. More than anything, we just want to get to know you and help fulfill God's call on your life. On behalf of pastors Phil and Carrie Vance and all of the Living Faith Fellowship family, thank you so much. God bless you.